Count your blessings, name them one by one. Is that right? You got to count them. And you got to recount them like they're doing in Florida. Okay, you got to recount them and you got to relive them. And you got to count them from years past to have a blessings day. And just think of your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s. And some of you 70s and 80s. You think, because God's been with you the whole time. This morning we're talking about a teenager, 15 to 18. That's wow. If you're 15 to 18, I want you to get your ears up. And if you have children of that age, or children getting to be that age, to produce a Daniel, think about it. We don't have any information on that. All we have is Daniel at 15. That's all we have. It took a lot to get to Daniel at 15. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning to see what's going on and to realize, wow, he must have had some devout parents, huh? And that is so important that we realize that and say, thank God. Let's all turn to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. Now, I want you to see this. When Daniel was born, look at this. When Daniel was born, the give or take some years here, much as I could find, this is what's true. In 590 B.C., 590 years before the birth of Christ, okay? He was born and raised in a Jewish Jerusalem family under the godly king Josiah. From about his birth till about 13 years old, he was being raised under the most godly king of all of Israel and Judah. And one of the great ones here. Flow down with me. I'm going to buzz here. 2 Kings 23, look at verse 2. He read the scriptures. He found the word of God and he opened it up and he read it himself. Verse 3, look at it. 2 Kings 23, verse 3. He made a covenant before God, to walk with God, to keep his commandments with all of his heart, and to perform all the words in the covenant. Whatever he read in the books of Moses, he says, we're going to do, I'm going to do, we're going to do. And he made a covenant. All the people heard the covenant, and they all stood and respected this covenant, and that means we're going to obey it. He went into the temple in verse 4. Look at verse 4. And got all of the vessels and the false gods of Baal and burn them. And this is Josiah, the king of Judah. Verse 5, he got all the idolatrous priests and everything that were worshiping the sun and the moon and threw them out. Verse 7, he broke down the houses of the Sodomites. Is that particular important in our day? Got rid of them? No. And then verse 10, they were even offering their children, their sons and daughters, into the fires of Molech to kill their kids. And you say, well, how could they go that far in the paganism? Well, they did. Israel did. And then it dropped down to verse 21. Verse 21, he found that they were supposed to be keeping the Passover, remembering what the death angel passed over in Egypt, and Israel was spared. He started obeying it. It was written in the covenant. And he says, read it and obey it. Verse 24 and 25, everybody. 2 Kings 23, 24 and 25, two verses. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the image and the idols and all abominations that were spied, he saw them, in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that were found there, and all that was performing the words of the law that were written in the book of Hilkiah, the priest, and he found in the Lord's what he found. He put it away, all of this sorcery and all this evil, all these idols. Verse 25. This is the day that he was reared. And like unto him, Josiah, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses? Neither after him arose there any king like him. Think he was the best king? Daniel and his family were reared in the kingdom of Josiah, who cleaned the house of evil and turned the nation around and was walking towards God. Amen? Don't we wish we had those days like in the Pilgrims' days and in the founding days of our fathers in America? We don't. Okay, we don't. We don't. Now we're going to make a point on that in a moment. Now I want you to look at Daniel. Let's all go to Daniel. We've got the day here. This was born under the godly king of Josiah. And we enter in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. All we have stated is that King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1, came and besieged Jerusalem, won the victory, and took them all captivity. And it just says here that he appointed his son was king. The Egyptians came in. There's capturing going on all the time. It's a mess going on. And Daniel's here, and he appoints his son king, and they change his name to an Egyptian name. and godliness is dying in the land, and Jehoiakim was an ungodly king, and this is what he was born in. And they took these, verse 3, the ones of the king's seed. So Daniel was either of a king's seed. Thank my lovely wife. You should have clapped for that. That means I can go for another hour. Okay, but here we see that it was either the king's seed or it was the princes. It was noble families. They were there, and they were people that had good upbringing. And it shows in verse 4. Look at verse 4a. It's the only description we have of Daniel. He is 15 years old. How many 15-year-olds? Look at it. He's 15. Children in whom was no blemish. Very handsome in appearance. I'm not going to hit that point. But well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Another version says, endowed with intelligence and discernment and quick to understand, such that had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. To raise children like this. Does that take work from a parent? Now, I don't want any of you to get a guilt trip because nobody's perfect and neither were Daniel's parents, okay? And Daniel had to be gifted with some brains, is that right? Some gifts, okay? But I do believe living in the years of Josiah the king and Daniel's parents had to be devout because they taught him to be intelligent, to read, to know, to study. Does that take discipline? Does that take, you know, a real discipline of a family that teaches their children to play piano? David, you did a great job with the piano. Didn't they? Let's give David another hand. That was powerful, powerful. And his wife, his mama sung very well too. Okay, but I was impressed with David. And you realize, has that taken a lot of discipline from this family to get David to where he is? Was there a day that David didn't want to play the piano? Probably last week. But discipline. We were at the funeral this week of Charles Wesco, a disciplined man. We heard stories of how he was the oldest of the family, and he was, and the families, I think they had some children that were miscarried between the next one. So there was some age between. They had 9 children, okay? And he was like a dad to most of them. And he went to work and everything. He paid for a lot of things of the kids. If the kid was interested in playing the harp, he bought a harp for one of them. The kids was interested in doing chalk art. He bought an easel and all the chalk and set him up so he could learn it in his teen years. One of them said, he got up to lead singing and he led the song and he said, my brother one time, he was the assistant pastor, and I got a letter that says I was leading singing in 3 weeks. And he said, He called his brother and he says, "This must be wrong. I don't know how to do this." He says, "Oh, it's right. I'm going to teach you." And he's been leading singing every bit, you know, to him. The Wescos, they're not perfect, okay? But they train their kids. When you see Tim here give his testimony and he stands in the House of Representatives in our state, very articulate, very, you know, he could stand with kings. Does that have to be trained in children? Most of our kids are like this. Huh? Is that true? Stand up, boy. My mom would say, "Stand up." Can you meet mention my mom doing that? Yeah. She probably had a belt in her hand when she said it too. I know we're not perfect and I'm not perfect. Ronnie knows that. But we must train our kids to serve God. We must train our grandchildren to serve God. We must train our church children to serve God. And I do believe in our culture, everything is too easy, and the kids are given too much leeway, and the kids tell the parents what to do instead of the parents telling the kids what to do. And the parents are afraid of the kids instead of the kids being afraid of the parents. Man, when I was raised, I was scared to death of mom and dad. Woo! Mike, do this. If I would say, "I don't want to do that, I'm not doing it," I wouldn't be standing. And you realize, to make us disciplined, to be a Daniel, to be skilled in all of school, you know, to make your kids study at school, is that a hard job, most parents? Man, it's terrible. But we got to do it. To have them to memorize. The Wesco said, Tim got up and gave a testimony, probably give it Thursday night, about his brother made him memorize the book of Jonah, made him memorize a lot of scriptures, and his brother just made him. And he did it. Do you think it was easy? No. Do you think it was easy training these guys to do it? It's amazing. Pastor Kyle and I sat behind the Charles Wesco family. He had 9 kids, 8 kids, something like that. We sat behind their children at the funeral for 2 hours and 45 minutes. We sat behind them. They sat there with respect for 2 hours and 45 minutes. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds, right there. Does that take a lot of training? Does it take receiving that training from parents and the kids? And I just challenge you. I don't know where you are, and none of us are perfect, and I'm certain the Wescos think they failed tremendously. But we need to train our kids. You know, if a country came in and took America and took our most disciplined children, teenagers, to their country, to be the leaders of their country, would they choose your children, your grandchildren? That's a heavy statement. That hit me. Wow. Ronnie did a great job with our family. The things our kids do, I attribute to her. I just played with them all the time. You know what I'm saying? And I would talk to them. She would beat their bottoms, you know. "Please don't do that." They do it anyway. I said, "Why? I just told you not to." And they did it anyway. And she would spank their bottoms and they would obey her. I'm sorry, no. I learned. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, having devotions, knowing the Bible. At 15, Daniel knew the Bible. His prayer at the end of chapter 2 is powerful. He's 18 years old. I want that to sink in. And we need to say, wow, our 18s need to be this way. Now, we can't make it happen and all that, but we need to be, as for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord. Now, you think you fail all the time, and you're not perfect by no means, but we should be parents that are trying in our hearts. And we're having devotions and we're having prayers. I've said this before. I said to Andrew one time when he was a teenager, I said, "Man, I had great devotions today." He said, "Dad, I thought you had great devotions every day." Ooh. You know, wow. And I beg you, that's all I'm saying, to realize that we are to train our children to be soldiers of Jesus. And we expect our soldiers to have discipline and character. At 15, the influence of Daniel's parents on him stopped about 15. It's over. And he had to take what he had in his soul and stand. Is that right? Wow. In another land. He's getting his head cut off anytime. He was a slave. He was a captive. He was in exile. Is that right? Wow. I challenge you, parents. How are you training your children to know God, to love God, to fear God, to serve God, to enjoy God? Is that right? To worship God? You know. And children, teenagers, we have a day where people, you know, they are not interested in all that. Is that right? We have a bunch of lazy, we have a bunch of casual, we have rebellion, and that's the norm. And they're being messed up all over the place, making poor decisions in their adult years. Is that right? Terrible. If your parents are trying to get you to read the Bible, oh, follow them. Don't let the devil mess you up. If your parents are trying to get you to memorize some scripture, oh, it's too hard. Yeah, it is, but do it anyway. If they're trying to get you to learn how to work, do we need to teach our children how to work? Yeah. Does your flesh want to? No. Will it ruin you if you don't learn? Yes. Our whole culture. As for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord. And if you failed with your kids, or a couple of them, don't give up. The story's not over. You got grandkids. And it's a miracle anybody makes it. Did you hear me? It's a miracle anybody makes it. Pastor Kyle's here. His family, his mom and dad trained him in the things of the Lord. Is that right? You know, when I thought when they were passing out brains, I thought they said trains, and I said pass. Okay. He's learned to study in his youth. Is that right? Somebody had to make it happen. And somebody had to be serious about it. Daniel had to take it serious. He didn't know he was going to be shipped to another country. And to learn. Learned skills. Learned language. To learn character. To learn about God. Wow. 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 Parents do it. Then we come to him at age, and then he's exiled. Let's put this up. He's exiled here. I want you to read the Deuteronomy parts. They're very, very good. Deuteronomy chapter 6, they're up there. And then he was captured, and his country was captured. He was taken as an exile into Egypt, into Babylon at 15 years of old. And he was trained to be like them, and he was brainwashed. Is that right? They were trying to brainwash him. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 4. Daniel chapter 1 verse 4, the second part. And it says, and, right, this last part of the last sentence, and whom they might teach the learning, that's the literature, the secular literature, the way of thinking, the way of life of the Chaldeans, and the tongue, the language of the Chaldeans, okay, of Babylon. They were going to train him and brainwash him and try to get his God of the Jews out of his life and get the God God and the idols of Babylon into his life and the way of thinking. Is that right? They were trying to change him. They even changed his name. Go down to verse 7. They changed all four of the guys' names. They're all names in Hebrew means that to be like the God Jehovah. And all the names that are from the Chaldees, the language of the Babylonians, is about the gods of the Babylonians. So they changed their names from the God of heaven to the hellish gods of Babylon. And they're trying to brainwash him. And he's in the middle of that. Is our culture today trying to brainwash our 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids? It is. It is. You as a parent need to stand up and realize that there are things in our culture that are desperately against what God says. And they're just being bombarded at us. And we got to say, no. No. Well, the kids want it. Everybody else is doing it. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I was reared in a home, and everybody else around me was doing things. And my parents said what? No. No, we're not doing that. Doing that. Only thing I've added to my parenting, Riley's parenting, our parenting, is that when you say no to something that they can't do as a child or teen, you should have what? A yes to something they can do. That we've added that part. All I heard from a dad was no, 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 no. It's all right, it's all right. But there should be, you know, if you can't go here, you know, we can go here. If you can't listen to this music, let's try this music. You know. We have some idolatrous things in our culture today, and nothing wrong with some of it, but it's dominating our lives. One of them is sports. I love sports. You know, I enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with some, but our culture is dominated. Is that right? Dominated. It, you know, when you think of Sunday night, you think of Sunday night what? Okay, they've got you. Okay, it's there. Nothing wrong with football. Especially when the Bears win. You know, no, nothing wrong. But if you watch it all day long, does it become an idol? Now you're meddling, preacher. You know, we have music. Does music dominate our world? Just dominates our world. People can't. Everybody you see has something stuck in their ears at all times. And I'm sitting there going, Bible says, "Be still and what? And know that I am God." I do believe with all the noise going on, people can't hear God, and it's not as exciting. You know, the Bible, there's books that are more exciting than the Bible. Oh, there's ones written in our vernacular better. Yeah. But it's a God book. God talks. And once you realize that, the movies today, are they dominating our world? And wow, video games, possessions, money, pride. Do we get all that? Nothing wrong with that. Do you have to have that stuff to live? Yes. But is our culture brainwashing us to think about all of that and not think about God? And you got to get a balance. Hear my word? Balance. Balance. You know, the Bible says to love Jesus more than you love your wife, your husband, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. Now that's a heavy commandment. Huh? And you say, wow, that's heavy. And we're told, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Now we kind of got it backwards, don't we? We seek all of these things and we hope that somehow we get the Jesus feel. And Daniel did not have that. Daniel, Jesus, God was everything at 15 years of age. Wow. Let's go to Daniel Strong. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Here is Daniel 16 years old. Okay, a year has passed here and he's there and the king is telling him, I want you to eat meat here and possibly offer to idols. We do not know why he did that. Maybe unclean. We do not know why. But he said, we're going to give you the meat and the wine. Verse 8 of the king, so you can be strong and healthy and thinking correctly and good at all things. And Daniel purposed in his heart, he resolved, he determined, he made up his mind in his heart, that's his whole being, his soul, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince, I'm not going to do that. Could Daniel at 16 lost his head? Do you, you know, we don't live in a king world. Do you tell the king, I'm not going to do that? Is that right? We don't realize. You don't tell the king, no. Daniel purposed in his heart. Somewhere in his life, his parents, and somewhere in his teaching, he realized that, hey, I am not to eat meat offered to idols. I am not to eat anything that's unclean. And it said it in God's word, whether I'm in Jerusalem or in Babylon, I'm going to do right. And he'd already made up his mind, and he says, no. Now I want you to look at the end. He requested. He did this with great attitude, and he didn't get mouthy. You know, he wasn't rebelling. He requested. Catch the attitude. Did his mom and dad teach him attitude and all that? Yeah, very important. And then God, verse 9, God gave him favor. God blessed him. I want you to know, teenagers, at 15 and 16, when Daniel says, I'm going to do right, and he did it graciously, God gave him favor, gave him blessing. If you want to be blessed in life, 15, 16, 17, 18, obey God, love God, know God, fear God, serve God, enjoy God, worship God, serve God. And you'll have favor. You'll be blessed. Go against God, you'll be cursed. Our whole culture is being cursed today because they're going the wrong direction. And too many Christians are just playing footsie with all of them. And it is sad the favor God gave with him. And that is so, so important to do that and stay that. And verse 17, God gave the four guys great knowledge and skills, and Daniel the ability to interpret dreams and visions, and God set him up. And verse 20, they had all this understanding and judgment, and they were 10 times better. God did it. God did it. God. Kids, go God's way and he'll bless you. Go God's way and he'll bless you. Go your own way and you'll be miserable. At 18, chapter 2, he's 18, and he was strong at 16, but he's standing at 18. And Daniel chapter 2, the king dreams a dream. Just flow through chapter 2, verse 1. He dreams a dream. He's troubled, and he doesn't remember the dream, doesn't know the interpretation, and he tells all his wise men, if you can't give me the dream and the interpretation, y'all gonna die. Now Daniel's one of those, and the three boys. And the wise men come in, verse 10, and says, no man on earth can do this, king. You can't ask this question. And verse 11 says, only if they be gods can they answer this question. It's really neat setting it up. And verse 13, we see that they sought Daniel to kill him. Let me tell you, thanksgiving only comes after great thanksgiving, only comes after great trials and troubles. You just can't say, we're going to be thankful tomorrow. What are you thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful that it's snowing. I'm thankful that we had something to eat yesterday. Do we pray kind of mamby-pamby prayers of thanksgiving? I want you to know, Daniel, die. Now, is that Thanksgiving when they don't die? I want you to know, Daniel at 18, woo! You know, God, I still got my head. I'm still alive. I was going to be killed here in Babylon with all the wise men, and I'm still here. Verse 14. Look at verse 14. There's five thens in verse, starting at verse 14. He said, you're going to die. And they went to Daniel's house. Then it says, Daniel went to the king in verse 14 and 16 and desired him time and told the king, I'm going to interpret your dream. Wow. Sounds pretty bold. Look at verse 17, the third then. Then Daniel went home to his house, got his other three buddies, and then they asked the God of heaven. Verse 18, read it. They desired mercy from the God of heaven that they not perish. They prayed at 18 years old. Daniel was a praying boy. Daniel believed in God. Daniel didn't have a clue what to do, but he just said, God will help me. And he said to the king, I'll do it. And then he went home and said, guys, get together. We got to pray, because if God doesn't answer us, we're all going to die. And then it says, verse 19, they're praying in verse 17 and 18, praying, earnestly praying, death march praying, they're praying. Verse 19 it says, then was the secret, the mystery revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. He must have been praying all night and talking to God all the time. Verse 19, second part. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He gave him the answer. And all Daniel does is fall down on his knees at 18 years old at a great answer of prayer. When was the last time you had a great answer of prayer? When you have a great answer of prayer, you give great, great thanksgiving. The Wescos are going to have a great thanksgiving, because they've seen God do something. You can only have great thanksgiving after you have a great conflict and you have victory. Great victory. Yes. Yes. I close here. Verse 19, verse 20. Then Daniel answered and said, Daniel, blessed be the name. That's who God is. He's Jehovah. He's Elohim. He's the Almighty. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. It's just not a name. It's His character. It's who He is, His greatness, His majesty, His holiness, His righteousness. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. 18 years old. For wisdom and might, power are His. He's the one who helped me out. I couldn't do it. And He changeth the times and seasons. He controls the course of world events. He turned a decree to die to decree to live. He's God. He's almighty. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He had Josiah. He had Jehoiakim. Now He has Nebuchadnezzar, the good, bad, and the ugly. He's God. He's in charge of this earth. He knows what's going on. And He knows how to bless. Even, I don't know, I'm in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar, who's the ungodly king, is the king. And here, God just answered our prayer and showed His hand, and He's alive. Wow! He's God. He giveth, verse 21 still, He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He's God. He gave it. It's not of me. It's from Him. He's God. Verse 22, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He told me the dream. He told me what He dreamed, and He told me the interpretation. And no man can do that. Only God can do that. It's already been said. And He says He's God. I love this part. Verse 22, right in the middle. He knoweth what is in the darkness. Is that a great statement? Don't put your hand up. How many of you are afraid of the dark? All my grandkids are afraid of the dark. Grandma, would you turn a light on? Then we turn a night light on. Then they say, would you turn the bigger light on? Oh, get a life, kid. Go to bed and go to sleep. Shut up. You know. I'm afraid. Hour later. Are you awake? Well, I am now, you know. God knoweth what's in the darkness. You ever been in pitch black in a cave, huh? God, He knows. Isn't that neat that Daniel believed that? Daniel was in trouble, and he just believed God will answer my prayer. And he went to God, and God answered in prayer. And he says, man, when everybody's in the dark and nobody knows anything, God knows. I love this last part of verse 22. And the light, catch that, dwelleth with him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Is that right? He's light. He's truth. He's divine. He's God. He can bless us. He can do it. And then it says, verse 23, here's Thanksgiving verse. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Does he remember his parents and his grandparents and his family, his godly family? God, you were with them. And we got all separated and destroyed and everything's bad. But you were with them there and you're with me here. That's true. Who hath given me wisdom and might, strength, power, and hath made known unto me now at 18 years old what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Amen. Daniel, at 18, was going to die because the king's dream and the wise men couldn't interpret it. But he went to the God of his fathers, got his three buddies together, and they prayed to the God of heaven, and the God of heaven answered, and here he's rejoicing. This is before he tells the king. He's rejoicing. God, you're good. God, you're good. You have to have some struggles to have some great thanksgiving. And if you're in the midst of some great struggles, get ready. You're going to have some great thanksgiving. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. You need to count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You need to expect God to bless you. You, in the midst of just dire distress, you need to expect God to bless you. You need to go looking for it every day. If you don't look for God's blessings, I've been praying for miracles. And that texting I did the other night, the person I text, after I texted the wrong person, I text the right person, and they said to me, we were just praying that we would talk to you about praying for us. And you text me at that exact time. And I'm sitting there going, wow. I read them to Ron Lee. I go, listen to this. This is so cool. God's here. My. And you realize, I'm going to look for blessings. Then I'm going to count them, and I'm going to recount them, and I'm going to relive them. Amen? Every day. And I'm going to go back and remember the ones of the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Is that right? God, thank you. That's Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving this week. Count your blessings. How many people this morning with head bowed, eyes closed, you say, I needed this message this morning. I needed this. Can I see you? Can I see you? Count your blessing. Come on. Wow. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, don't leave. Talk to somebody right beside you. My. To know the God of heaven, the God that will bless you and hear you and answer your prayer and come through.